The one I have in mind now was Dr. William Lee Kennan of physics. The students called him Wild Bill. When he did experiments, he did them in a big way. A pendulum, to him, was not a little sphere on a piece of thread. It was a cannonball hung from the 30 or 40 foot ceiling of the observatory with a period of maybe 10 seconds. He liked to demonstrate the difference between an explosion and a detonation by firing a double barrel shotgun out of the window, one of them loaded with black powder and the other with smokeless powder. His lectures were fascinating and filled with the most attention-catching turns of phrase. You might think at the time that he was exaggerating beyond all measure, but he was a master of what I call the controlled hyperbole. You would realize in later years that what he told you was not wild imagination, but cold fact. He was the best man to work for that ever was. He was kind, he was lovable, he was loyal, he was generous to a fault. I loved him next to my own father. During the last 3 years I was on the campus as a student, I was a member of a group called Scribblers. This was the local of a now defunct national honorary, quote, fraternity, unquote, Sigma Upsilon. It was devoted to the encouragement of creative writing. It was the most enjoyable organization to which I ever belonged. There were 5 faculty members and 10 or 12 student members. The program of the monthly meeting consisted of an essay-type paper on a topic for the year, such as the great letter writers, and 2 originals. The original could be a short story, an essay, a poem. It could be anything, so long as it was original. After the program, we had light refreshments with a lot of good coffee and a lot of good tobacco. That was where I learned to like that mild Robert Burns panatella that we called the Little Bobby. That, however, was before I watched Dr. Kennan die of lung cancer. He was an inveterate cigar smoker who inhaled every puff. These meetings also, we had lots and lots of fascinating conversation and discussion. One month, we were discussing the letter writers of the world, and the author of the main paper quoted Madame de Sévigné, I believe it was, as having begun one of her letters with a statement more or less to this effect. Pardon the length of this letter. I don't have time to be brief. I think now that she was quoting Pascal, or he was quoting her, but that's neither here nor there. This led Dr. Kennan to hold forth at length on the value and uses of brevity. This was a curious stance for him to take, since he could be of all people the most verbose. The value of brevity, he insisted, consisted not only in the resulting economy of time and words, but in an enormous and almost exponential increase in emphasis. He remarked in passing that the most impressive lecture he had ever heard on physics, subsuming both classical and modern physics, had consisted of only 6 words and had been delivered in less than 15 seconds. We all, of course, urged him to tell us a story, which after all was exactly what he wanted to do. So he leaned back in his chair and puffed out an enormous cloud of cigar smoke and told us his story, which I will try to repeat in my own words. From its beginning until at least 1930, to my certain knowledge, the physics department of the Johns Hopkins University held a dreary meeting every Thursday afternoon called the Journal Club. Every Thursday, the entire physics faculty and graduate student body would assemble at 4 p.m. in the afternoon in the seminar room. 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Baltimore in the winter can generally be pretty dark and gloomy and depressing. The seminar room was generally dirty from its morning use and generally reeked of stale pipe and cigarette smoke. The graduate faculty would come in and seat themselves in the comfortable chairs around the table. One or 2 brash graduate students in their last year might join them. The rest of us would come in and seat ourselves in the uncomfortable straight chairs around the walls of the room. The department secretary would come in and serve us a cup of strong black tea, one half of a slice of lemon, two lumps of sugar, and two cookies, generally stale, generally left over from last week. I never have redeveloped a real liking for lemon tea since then. But after making merry over this collation, we would hear a lecture from a student or a visiting dignitary. The student generally talked about his research project. He would wish to appear, of course, complete master of his subject. He would assume, therefore, that we were all as familiar with its details after a 5-minute introduction as he was after having worked on it for 2 years. He would never explain anything from the beginning, of course, and never in simple terms. The visiting fireman, whoever he might be, would never dare to appear to be talking down to the faculty, so he too, as we used to say, would take off at a high rate of speed and disappear over the nearest hilltop, and we would never catch up with him again. It really is an amazing feeling and very discouraging to a beginning graduate student to hear a man talk rapidly for 30 or 45 minutes, obviously using the English language, and for you to realize when he is finished that you have understood hardly more than a few dozen words. That happened on a Thursday afternoon about 1904 or 1905 that the speaker for the day was to be a Professor Ernst, E-R-N-S-T, a thermodynamics man from Germany. A young graduate student, William Lee Kennan, was told off to meet Professor Ernst at the railroad station to conduct him to the university, which was then in downtown Baltimore. Dr. Ernst was to arrive in good time via the B&O, but he had to catch a steamer at the wharves at 6 o'clock for his return trip to Germany. Baltimore had then, and may still have, as far as I know, a very considerable German population, and the Hamburg American Line ran a regular passenger service between Baltimore and Hamburg or Bremerhaven, I don't remember which. This meant that Professor Ernst had to begin on time and to be on his way promptly if he was to make his steamer. This, however, was a day when Baltimore had elected to have an ice storm. Now, Baltimore and Washington, too, will never permit a decent and honest snowstorm if it can be helped. They prefer a freezing mixture of fog, drizzle, and a little bit of snow that freezes on contact and covers everything with a thick, slick glaze of ice. It makes being outside very uncomfortable and makes public transportation almost impossible. When Kennan arrived at the station, he found the train posted late, delayed by the storm. And as he waited, the train got later and later. It was obvious that the longer he waited, the worse conditions outside got, and the longer it was going to take to get Professor Ernst from the university to the wharves, not to mention from the station to the university. Kennan frantically tried to figure what kind of a schedule he could operate on and what he ought to do. When the train finally did arrive, it was his opinion that if he took the speaker directly to the university, there would be a leeway of not more than 15 minutes before he would have to leave to catch his steamer. When he tried to explain this to Professor Ernst, he was brusquely aside. Professor Ernst said he could deliver his lecture in whatever time was available. They took a taxi or a horse-drawn cab, I don't know which, and made their slow way to the university. It was worse and slower than Kennan had imagined. When they arrived, he was sure that they had not more than 3 or 4 minutes to spare before Professor Ernst would have to leave for the wharves. But Ernst was adamant. He had come to Baltimore, he said, to address the physics department, and address it he would. He told the cab driver to wait, He got out of the cab and didn't even put his suitcase down. With it in his hand, he strode into the seminar room. Without waiting for an introduction, he mounted the podium. And as he passed the lectern, he hardly broke his stride. He turned to the audience and said, "Meinen Herren, es ist alles Energie." Gentlemen, it's all a question of energy. And having rumbled that out of his Germanic throat, he waved his free hand to them in a gesture of hail and farewell, and added one more word, Auf Wiedersehen. He strode from the platform and into his cab and was on his way. It would never do to press Wild Bill for the logical and prosaic ending of one of his stories. I can only hope that Professor Ernst did actually get to the wharves in time and did get back to Germany. I have, however, repeated this story to many a physics class, generally in thermo. I've done this partly to liven up a dull lecture, and for the purpose, as Mr. William S. Gilbert once said, of adding corroborative detail for the purpose of giving artistic verisimilitude to an otherwise bald and unconvincing narrative. And on the other hand, I've done it for exactly the same reason that Dr. Kennan told the story to us in the first place. After all, my friend, what is physics all about? Why, meinen Herren, es ist alles Energie.